So today we're going to continue on in our Fulfillment of Faith series. And I got to tell you, I've been loving going through this. I shared a little bit of this. Hannah and I had the honor and privilege of going and speaking at Charles Finney School. It's a school up in Rochester. I actually went there for a couple years when I was really young. And it was such a blessing to get to encourage them and encourage their faith at such an impressionable time where they're making decisions that'll impact their future. I remember being that age and making choices, making decisions that really have such a huge impact on my life right now. And before we jump in, there's been a phrase that I've been saying that I really want to clarify and just share what it means. I've been using this phrase, from glory to glory. I've been using that a lot. God wants to take us from glory to glory. And I just want to explain just a little bit of that. What that is it's the Lord taking us from one glory to the next. And I want to give you this, the reference of it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." That's where the Spirit of the Lord is. Yeah, you all know that song. I know it clearly. And it says this next. It says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit." In other words, if we're living in and we're living with the Spirit of the Lord, otherwise known as the Holy Spirit, which we talked a whole lot about the Holy Spirit over the spring and summer into the fall, if we're living in that, our lives will be transformed as we live in the Holy Spirit. Our minds, our hearts, our will is all being transformed as we spend time and as we seek the Lord in His presence. And in that transformation, as our mind is transformed, as our heart is transformed, it'll never be done being transformed. The same, we talk about this in salvation. Yes, there is that moment of, "I gave my life to Christ, I am saved." But in throughout our walk with the Lord, He is constantly saving us from other things. When it talks about renewing, transforming our mind, our hearts, our will to that of the Lord's, it's not this, "Oh, I did it once last Tuesday, I'm good for the rest of my life." No, it's a continual, when I need Him, when you notice, "Oh, my heart's starting to, I need to transform this, I need to renew this," we can go back to the Lord. And in that process, He's taking us from where we are right now through that transformation into the next thing. As I was talking about this and thinking about this, I was thinking of Paul Lipkowski. And Paul Lipkowski, if you did not know this, is a, what degree are you, Paul? An eighth degree black belt. Yeah, so just, yeah, so as you see him walking around, just know, hi-ya, yeah, he'll get you. If he really wanted to, he could take us all down. Yeah, so, but think of it like this, as you go through, I never did karate, but I can remember in elementary school, we did recorder, and I poor parents, I don't know whose idea it was to make recorder concerts for elementary school, but we did this thing where each time we would do something, we got a little ribbon at the bottom of our thing, and it represented a belt, and then we would get new songs, and if we did that perfect, we'd get a new belt, and we do new songs. In karate, as you master the white belt, and then you move on a little bit. I think it's yellow next. Yes, I'm getting head nods. Yes, it's yellow. But you go through, and you keep on going, and you keep on going. I didn't even know there was an eighth degree. I had no idea. But the thing with the glory that the Lord is taking us to, there will never be an end. You'll never go, "I've reached the final glory. I'm 50 years old, 60 years old, 20 years old. I've reached the final glory." You go, "Just you wait. I've got another thing I want to do in your life. I want to transform you a little bit more." And our final glory is when we're in heaven. That's when we'll reach our final glory. While we're here on earth, as we let the Lord work in us, as we let the Lord rest on us, we're going to continue to be transformed. And so when I say that we're going from glory to glory, that means wherever you are right now, let the Lord work in you. Let Him rest on you. Let Him speak into your life, because He's not done with where you are right now. He has something next level for you. So be encouraged in that. And I want to take time to pray as we jump into the scripture and we jump back into the series, that we would position ourselves to go from glory to glory. That today that we would position ourselves to say, "Lord, I'm here. Wherever it is, Lord, I'm a white belt. I'm a yellow belt, I'm a brown belt, I'm an eighth degree black belt, Lord. Wherever I'm at right now, I want to go to the next thing. So let's just position ourselves right now in his presence and pray to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you, Lord, knowing that who we are, what we've done, Lord, it may be perfect, it may not be perfect, it might be messed up in our past, Lord, but we know that who we are today, because of your working in us, it's all because of you, Lord. It's all because of your mercy and your grace. We sang it this morning, Lord. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me, Lord. We thank you that you are taking us from one glory to the next. And Lord, as we hear your word this morning, as we leave this place, as we go back out into our communities, our environments, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that our heart would be in a position to say, Lord, I want to be transformed because I want to go to that next thing you have for me. Lord, we love you, we bless you, we give you this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, so up to this point, we've talked a lot about how to encourage our faith. We've been in the book of Hebrews. We've been talking how to ensure it, how we have confidence, how we have hope in our faith, and why we believe. We asked that question, why? And I promise you, we're going to get to the point we're going to get to the fulfillment part. We're almost there. We're almost to the fulfillment of faith. We're almost to the carrying out of our faith and what that looks like. But there's one thing, as my wife and I were talking, it really changed the direction that I was going. But as we were talking, I said, Hannah, text this to me right now. I just said this to somebody else 2 seconds ago. I said, text this to me, because if it's not texted to me, I'm not going to remember. But our focus today is going to be that faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. You see, many people go through life thinking that their faith is like an emotion, that their faith is something like joy, or it's like happiness, it's anger, it's frustration. It comes and goes, and when I'm in a good place, my faith is high. When I'm in a bad place, my faith gets low. But the thing is, our faith is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Many people trust and walk with the Lord based on their current circumstances rather than the truth that's found in Christ. And that really impacts and has a negative influence in our faith. And I want to make sure I make one thing clear, and that is it's okay to have feelings. It's okay to have feelings. Oh, my wife... Poor my wife. If there's a trigger word in my head, a song just goes off, and all I could think of was feelings, nothing more than feelings. It's okay to have feelings. God has given you those feelings. Your emotions are based off his emotions. He gets angry. He's happy. The scripture says he smiles down upon us. He's saddened at things. He laughs. He cries. When the scripture said that we were made in his image, that included his emotions and how he felt. We were made in that same way. But here's the thing, because we are not God and because we are not perfect, our emotions, our feelings, the sin in our lives, it's not perfect. Our feelings aren't perfect. Our emotions aren't perfect. Your soul, which is made up of your mind, will, and emotions, because they are not perfect, means that the way you think, the way you desire, the way you behave, it has faults. In my life, the way I behave, the way I think, the way I act, there's faults in that sometimes. And I got to go, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me that I didn't handle this situation the best. Hannah and I, the other morning, we had an argument about something so... Deborah was sitting on the table, and I didn't want her sitting at the table. I saw Hannah standing right next to her. And because of my frustration with Deborah sitting on the table, which she knows she's not supposed to do, I started getting an attitude with my wife, who did nothing wrong. She did nothing wrong except for bad place, bad time, I guess. And so I started getting an attitude. Why are you letting her on the table? Why are you? You're right there. Can you? And I said it so sassily because the way I'm going to tell the story is, I said, hey, honey, do you mind just helping me just get her off the table? But I know deep down that's not what I said. It's like, can I get some help here getting our daughter off the table? I need your help, hun. And she didn't like that. I knew in that moment that the way I asked, the way I spoke, that my feelings were not correct. My feelings were leading the way I acted rather than my faith. You see, Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and true holiness. Let me tell you, your mind, your will, and your emotions, they will deceive you if you let them. I have been deceived by my thoughts before. I've been deceived by my will before. I have been deceived by my emotions before. If we all acted and spoke without discerning our thoughts, our actions, our words, without filtering them, it would be absurd. Let me tell you, it'd be like living with a toddler. Oh my goodness. There's a reason the scripture says, raise your children, because they do not know and are not born all raised up, ready to go. Anyone with kids knows, yeah, there's some work that's got to be put in. There's some work that's got to be put in because they don't know the way they should go. They need to be raised. I told Deborah the other day not to play in the snow. Not to play in the snow. You're not prepared to play in the snow. We're on our way somewhere. And of course, as a toddler does, first thing she does is she runs out into the snow. First thing, boom. She doesn't have snow pants on. She's got a cute, like, tights and a dress and boots. And so, like, snow is getting into her boots. She wipes out and slips in the snow. And she's in there cold, freezing. She's crying. She got mad. And instead of listening, she listened to her emotions. She listened to her thoughts and goes, I want to do that. I know what I should do. I know what I've been instructed to do, but I want to go do that thing I want to do. Not 30 seconds later, she's in the snow crying, mad, furious. And like a good father, I picked her up. I looked into her eyes and I said, I told you so. And I said, I knew this would happen. No. Not really. I made sure she was okay, but I told her, I said, listen, hon, there's a reason I tell you these things. There's a reason I say, don't go in the snow, because I know you're going to get cold. You don't realize the fact that this snow is cold and your hands are going to start burning if you're playing in it without gloves. And now your pants are wet and you're soaked and you're crying. And I hate to do it, but I told you so, kid. I knew this would happen. I told you there's a reason. You see, when we believe that our feelings are our faith, we deceive ourselves into making decisions and having beliefs that are not in line with God's. When we focus on what our emotions are and what our feelings are and what our mind, the scripture says his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Thank goodness. Because if my thoughts and my ways were the ways of God's, we'd be in for a world of trouble. Because my thoughts and my ways, sometimes I am not the best decision maker at times. There has been a past of bad decision making. I've had the Lord go, Lord, help me in my decision making. Help me make decisions that are godly and good. You see, our flesh feels, but our faith believes. Our flesh feels, but our faith believes in what the Lord is doing. Our flesh is the one that goes, no one will ever love you. But it's our faith that believes that we have a God in heaven that loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. It's our flesh that feels like we are a failure, but it's our faith that believes that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for us. It's our flesh that feels bitterness and resentment towards those who hurt us. But it's faith that believes if we can be forgiven by the Father, why can't we extend forgiveness to someone who needs it? It's our flesh that believes God is to blame for our pain and our hurt. But it's our faith that believes that he is standing by our side, extending help and grace and hope in those times when it's most painful and hurting. That's our faith. If you let your feelings dictate your faith rather than the other way around, your faith will begin to dwindle because, again, your feelings will deceive you. Our faith will dwindle if our faith is based on how we're feeling in the moment. Hannah and I started fasting this week, and I've been a joy to be around. And I woke up one morning, and I was not feeling it. I was not feeling it. We said, okay, we're going to bed early, 5:30, wake up time, Devo's workout. We're doing it all, oatmeal pancakes with no sugar in it. Let's go. We got this. And I did not want to get up one bit. And I know, and I just see my wife looking over there, and I know how she's praying for me this morning while she does her Devos. I'm still in bed. Believe me, I know it. Because our feelings, the way we feel, is not always aligned with what God wants to do in our life. You see, we looked at Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 a couple weeks ago, the past couple weeks. And I'm going to jump into a little bit down the road, same chapter in chapter 10, but we're going to look at verse 32 through 34 today. And we're going to look at how the author of Hebrews, his encouragement for the Jewish people, how it plays such an important role into our lives on not basing our faith off our feelings. So it says this, verse 32. But recall those former days when you, after you were enlightened or after you believed in Christ, saw him, had faith, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partner with those who were so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. You see, this verse correlates so perfectly, so I want to focus on those first two verses, 32 and 33. I'm going to read them again. It says, recall those former days after you were enlightened. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. You see, the Hebrews, they endured struggles and pain after becoming believers. Because the Jews that weren't converted over, that still only believe that this Messiah, he's a heretic, they started persecuting them. And so these new Hebrews who were giving their faith and their life over to Christ were now being persecuted. And they could have chosen, based on their feelings and the situation, to walk away from believing in the Lord. They could have let it dictate their endurance. They could have said, okay, this was great for a week, but I don't like this persecution. I don't like this pain. I don't like what's going on. So I'm going to go back to my old ways and back to my old habits. Their feelings could have dictated their endurance, but rather they followed their faith. You see, feelings do not dictate our endurance. What does that mean, our endurance? I don't know about you, but that is my least favorite type of exercise. Give me the biggest weights you got. I'll do 10 of them. Awesome. If you want me to do 10 weights and do them 100 times, get out of here. I am not a fan of endurance. I switch from soccer to football. That's saying something. Give me some short sprints. I'll do that. Give me a breather. I'll go back to it. I don't want to run 7 miles for my sport. Thank you very much. I don't like endurance. Constantly, Paul is warning believers to fight the good fight, he says. In another word, he says, keep on pressing forward. He says, don't lose hope. He's encouraging them to keep on going. Paul knew there would be things in this life that discouraged their faith. There was things in Paul's life that discouraged his faith. He needed to be encouraged. Things that would slow us down and make us want to quit in our walk with the Lord. We heard a message from Eric, and one of the things that he talked about was longevity and keeping going and keeping moving forward. Longevity is a word that is so powerful when it comes to our faith. You know, the average time of a pastor in a church is 3 years right now? 3 years. That's wild. Pastor Eric was here for 34 years, reaping and sowing. It's encouraging to see that endurance go, and it encourages me to go, I can do it. Whether it be slowed down, drifting, whether there's some turning point, an event that slowly pushed us away from the Lord, at some point there might have been times where, you know, my endurance is slowing down. You see, when we go through life dictating everything based on our feelings, we will end up exhausted and wiped out. There's a reason after an argument you feel exhausted. So much emotion, so much feelings. Oh boy, you're like, I could take a nap after this. There's times when if I have a meeting during a day, I'm like, I'm going to take a nap now. Because there's a lot of like just giving of your emotions and talking about feelings and what's going on. I remember when Hannah and I first started here at the church, our first couple of years, behind the scenes, they weren't great. They weren't great. We felt attacks from the enemy come against us, and there was times that we felt like not going forward. We felt like, this is it. I don't know if we can do this. This is hard. This is tough. This is really dragging on me right now. But since we had faith and we knew the Lord had called us and we knew there was a grace to do what he had placed us here to do, we knew that he would give us peace. When you know the Lord has placed you somewhere, there is such confidence, there is such endurance to remind yourself, okay, I am here. I am where I have been called to. And I know that no matter what comes against me, I can stand here because it's not myself who put my place here. It's you, Lord. That's why we go after our own desires. When we go after our own feelings, we put ourselves in positions. We give ourselves authority when we put ourselves in a place where God has not called us. Let me tell you, our authority doesn't stand the test of time. It'll be great for a little while. We might be in a place that's awesome for a moment. If we're going, all right, Lord, you think of Jonah. He's like, Tarshish sounds amazing right now. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going here. And he placed himself there. And he ended up in the belly of a whale. I'm not saying the same will happen to you, but I'm not taking my chances. Go to Nineveh. Yes, it's not great. But you see, when the Lord placed him in Nineveh, the calling, the equipping, the power, it came to pass. Amen. He was going to a place of amazing. The Bible speaks of Tarshish as this amazing place full with beauty and jewels and amazing exports. He was going there. It's like, my life is going to be real good. Like, it's going to be great here. But instead, when he went to the place he despised and did not want to be, but yet he was called and placed there, he had peace and assurance, and his will was done in Jonah's life. That's where we want to be. Your walk with the Lord is too great a thing to be dictated by your feelings. We spoke these past few weeks about encouragement. I encourage you to encourage your faith. Encourage it. Focus on that encouragement so you have that endurance. Talked about a community. Surround yourself with people that will push you to do that next thing. The author continues on in Hebrews 10 through 34. It's going to be our last verse today, but I got a couple points from here. It says, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one." Hallelujah. You see, when their feelings could have led them to resent or persecute those in prison, they decided to let their faith guide them, and their faith resulted in compassion. You see, feelings do not dictate our compassion. Oh boy, if you let your feelings dictate who you're going to give compassion to, oh boy, that's a dangerous road. We all know the golden rule here, treat others the way you want to be treated. I mean, I can remember that plain as day in our school bus posted up on the front right there. And the ironic thing is it's scripture. It's scripture. That scripture that I spoke over Lindsay's life, later on in that same section, he encourages all those who are listening, hey, if you want to see your life, you want to see good things in your life, you want to see joy in your life, begin to treat others with joy. Begin to treat others with peace. Treat the people around you the way that you want to be treated by them. Doesn't say to treat others based on how they're feeling. Doesn't say to treat others based on how you're feeling. Could you imagine if that's how we all lived our life? If we treated other people the way we were feeling in the moment, oh, my wife's not here, but I'm going to make a bold claim. I don't know if I'd be married today. If every single way, the way we were feeling, we treated that person the way we were feeling. My relationship with my daughter, oh my goodness. There are times where my wife and I, after dealing with our daughter, I've gone like, who is this? What happened to her? I held her. She was perfect. She was amazing. She's still perfect. But what happened? She's running this place like crazy. I'm not talking about you, hon, just so we're clear. Not now, at least. But there's days, Let me tell you, has anybody experienced a day where they don't feel like being nice to someone? Where they don't feel like having compassion with someone? There aren't, and I don't know if that makes me less pastorly, if that's a word. It's red squiggly lines under my notes, so it's not. But there are days people can be hard to handle. There's days where it can be tough. Jesus went back to his hometown to try to reach them. He said, I can't preach there. They don't listen to me. I can't be around them. They won't receive what I'm giving them. But thankfully, we're not instructed to show compassion and show kindness based on our feeling, but we're instructed to do so based on our faith. Our faith says that we're to extend the same compassion that Christ gives us to those around us. All of us have been given that free gift of salvation, that free hope, that joy, that peace, and because of that, we have the opportunity to extend that to others because we didn't deserve it. We have to remember that when we are dealing with people who do not deserve our compassion, that we did not deserve the compassion that we received. How are we supposed to claim that we live by faith and walk with the Lord if we withhold compassion from those who may not be deserving of it? We can't. And I feel very passionately about this because I have seen people walk away from their faith because of something that a believer has said to them. Walked away from the church because of how a believer treated them. And that's not right. I've heard how Christians can talk to one another and treat one another. You can call out sin. You can encourage someone to change their behavior without being a jerk, if I can be frank. There's a way, as the Lord says, to do it in love, with compassion, with grace, with mercy. Jesus could have come down and all. And think of Evan Bruce Almighty, smite me, O mighty smiter. If Jesus wanted to, when he came, he could have said, y'all are in sin, I'm wiping you out of here. But instead he said, no, you need compassion, you need grace, you need mercy, you need to know that somebody loves you. Yes, you need to change your ways. You'll not be your old self. You'll be a new creation in me. You will be reborn. But as you do so, I'm going to show you love, and you are to do that exact same thing to others. This world does not need more people treating others based on their feelings. It needs more people treating others in a way that mirrors Christ, and that's faith. That is faith. Mirroring Christ is faith. If we're not mirroring Christ, that's saying, Jesus, I don't have faith in how you lived your life. That's not for me. But when we mirror Christ, we say, Jesus, I saw how you lived your life. I had faith that you are my Redeemer. I have faith that you are who you say you are. And because of that faith, I'm going to live out that same way in compassion. Here's my last point for today. In similar fashion, in that same verse that we, if you want to pull that up, verse 34. These Jews could have let their feelings dictate their joy. It says that all of their possessions were taken away from them. But instead, their faith in Christ gave them the opportunity to receive and walk in the joy of the Lord. You see, our feelings do not dictate our joy. Our feelings do not dictate our joy. You see, I'm going to get a little intense here for a moment. There is a mental health epidemic, but especially among believers. There is so much mental health issue amongst believers. And let me start off with saying, I believe that it's so, so important that we take care of our mental health. As an 8-year-old kid who saw his parents go through divorce and saw my mom get messed up in a situation that was not great for her or for ourselves, I completely understand it. Waking up with an anxiety attack in the middle of the night thinking the house was on fire, or thinking that there was somebody inside that was trying to get it. I understand that anxiety and depression and mental health is real. My wife could share her journey and her story of dealing with that and the change in her life that I saw. With all that being said, I believe there are way too many believers that let their joy and let their peace in life be dictated by feelings and circumstances rather than what Christ says. Rather than what Jesus declares and says about our lives. I hear grown adult believers when asked, hey, how are you? Hey, how you doing? What's going on? The bleakest answers I have ever heard. The bleakest, the worst. I'm like, are you okay? Do you need help? Like, and they're like, oh no, it's all good. I'm like, why would you want to speak that? God has given you victory. Christ has redeemed you. And I'm not saying days can't be hard. Boy, there are hard days. There are days that you're like, Lord, end this day right now, please. I'll take 16 hours of sleep. I'll stop it here at 2 o'clock. Please, end it. I'm not saying those days won't come and that we can't be real with what's going on in our lives, and at the end of the day, our joy in life does not rest on the balance of that. Because if it does, no wonder we struggle with depression and anxiety. If our joy and our peace in life rested on our feelings and our circumstances, no wonder there's depression and anxiety and fear. It makes sense if our joy and peace is based on emotion and circumstances, that our life is an emotional roller coaster just up and down that we can't control. The book of James says, count it all joy, brethren, that when you face trials and tribulations, hallelujah, can I receive an amen? Count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. And you might be thinking, what is this guy know? This James guy, what is this guy know? You see, this guy was oppressed. He was persecuted on a daily basis, enduring pain and suffering to the point of martyrdom and death, proclaiming the gospel, and yet his faith produced joy rather than fear and anxiety. He could have said, count it all complete fear. They're trying to kill me. That's what he could have said. He said, no. Count it all joy, brethren, that when you go through tough times, you can seek the Lord. You can know him, that your faith is going to produce something good at the end of this. I'm not sure how many of you know this gentleman. Most of you do. But there's a good brother of ours who's up at Murray Hill. His name is Bill Duboy. He's been between Murray Hill and the hospital for 8 months now. It's been since May. Dealing with a lot of conditions, a lot of different things. And I went and visited him this past week. I sat down, I said, Bill, how you doing? And he said what he would say every single Sunday morning when I saw him. He'd say, any better, I'd be in heaven. Any better, I'd be in heaven. Oh, he could have moaned away at 8 months in between hospitals and up in Murray Hill. And, oh, I want to get out of here. And he's like, I'm ready to be home. Of course, you cannot like your circumstances and still have joy. You can say, this stinks, but I'm still going to have joy in that. Any better, I would be in heaven. I don't know about you, but that's joy that I want ruling over my life. Any better than right now, and I would be in heaven. In the midst of whatever is thrown at me, that I don't revert to victim mentality full of fear and anxiety, but recognize that the creator of the universe loved me so much that he saved me. Anytime you're going through pain, anytime you're going through suffering, you can say, you know what? The creator of the universe. Let that sink in. Loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. I don't know about you, but I'm like, hallelujah right now. I got a God who loves me. He saved us, not to declare depression and anxiety over our lives. He saved us to be rejoicing in freedom. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord our Christ Jesus. Mix that up, but you guys got the point. I want to make it so clear. If you struggle with any sort of mental illness, fear, anxiety, depression, we are here. We're ready to pray for you. I encourage you, if you're struggling with that this morning, we're going to have an altar ministry team up here. Ask them for prayer over that in your life. We're ready to receive, and we want to see victory in your life over that. We realize that the things that go on in this world, they can be real, and they can hurt, and they can break us. We understand that. However, if we continue to claim that over our lives and are led by our feelings and led by our circumstances rather than by faith in God, it's going to be hard to break that chain. I look at people who have fear and anxiety and they go, oh, I suffer with depression. If you keep saying you suffer with depression, come on. If you start saying, I have victory in Christ Jesus, You'll start seeing victory in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying your circumstances will change. I'm not going to say that life's going to be all hunky-dory, walking down the yellow brick road, galloping, whatever they're doing. It's not going to be the easiest life. Never has it said that this would be the easiest life, but it says if you walk with me, you'll have joy, you'll have peace, you'll have hope, you'll have love, you'll have compassion. That's what he said. Allow your faith, allow your belief in Christ to be your joy, and you will always have a reason to be joyful. You will always have a reason to be joyful. I'm going to close here. I'm telling you, we're getting to it. We're getting to the fulfillment part. We're getting there. Day by day, inch by inch, we're getting there. But as we stand, I'm going to ask all of you to stand in prayer. Jeremy, do you mind hopping on the keys? As we close here today, I just want to challenge every single person, and I'm challenging myself. I'm going to challenge all of you that throughout this week, throughout your life, that as your emotions and your feelings, let me tell you, they're real, they're there. God put them there for a reason. But as they begin to come up and as you begin to feel them, just ask the Lord, say, Lord, I need you. It's that simple. Say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I don't want to be led by my emotions right now. Lord, I'm angry. Lord, I'm frustrated. Lord, I'm sad. Lord, I'm happy, and I want to make sure I'm making right decisions that make you happy, Lord. Just right now, ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me walk by faith, Lord. Help me walk by faith. Not by my feelings. The scripture says, not by sight, but by faith. When we look at our feelings, when we look at our circumstances, our situations, there are times when we'll go, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But he says, don't look at me. Point your eyes up. Have faith. Have faith that I have a plan. Have faith that I have a purpose. Have faith that there's a hope and a future. Not to come against you, but for you to prosper as you seek me. So, Lord, we just declare in this time, Lord, I want to be led by my faith, not my feelings. I want to be led by what you're doing, not by what's going on in my life. Lord, we give you this time. I'm going to invite the people who are scheduled on the altar ministry to come up this time. And if you need prayer this morning, whatever it is, I believe specifically if you're struggling with any sort of mental health, to come and receive prayer for that this morning. But if it's anything at all, I encourage you to come on up. We have people here to pray for you. And Lord, we just bless everyone. So your scripture says your face smiles upon us. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we receive you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.